All right, I'm Apostle Thompson. We'll be having the class together. I know I got a lot of new students, and to the students who come in for the second year, we're in a transitional realm of the Spirit that the church has not been exposed to as she should. I want to train you where you can make the transition, and that in your teaching and your preaching, you will have a transitional anointing to move God people in another dimension, another realm of the Spirit. Of my 53 years of experience of preaching, apostolically and prophetically, the Lord is now leading me into the dimensions that the church should be in this season, at this time. So your portion of life is about to be rearranged spiritually. There are some things you're going to see. I'll begin to give you words that I want you to hang on to. The second year probably heard these words. I have 3 years that have not heard. Let me give you 6 words to start this class with. Pioneering, pathfinding, and pace setting. That's apostolic. Supernatural portals will be opened in the spirit realm by a apostolic and prophetic anointing being embraced by your life in these classes. Now the other words, 3 words I want you to get down, I want you to ponder them, is boldness, access, and confidence. We're going to find them in scriptures. Boldness, access, and confidence. The 3 scriptures I want you to be meditating on and reading and rereading and find the context of them are Ephesians 3, 1 through 12, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 10. I want to begin class by telling you the studies that I'm studying from is which have changed me completely, is that you already got it. You already got it. We're going to find out, we're going to minister and take the struggle out of God's people who trying to use faith without grace, trying to use faith without hope, trying to use faith without love. Get that down. Get that down. Trying to use faith without grace. See, it is grace that has put everything in place. What did I say? It is grace that has put everything in place. Grace definitely is God's unmerited favor. So we're talking about favor and faith becoming one. We're going to find out that the struggle, people are struggling in prayer, they're struggling in their faith. We are designed apostolically and prophetically by God, you in this class, to pull the body of Christ out of the struggle. All the things going on now got a lot of people shook up. But I think after we go into some of these classes and dive into the boldness and the access and the confidence that we're going to be packing as ministers, to whoever we minister to, they'll be able to pick up the same boldness, access, and confidence. So you already got it, is where I'm ministering from. Let's look at, in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now notice that, because that brings us to the scripture in Ephesians 4:11 through 16. It tells you about the fivefold ministry gift, and then it tells us what the fivefold ministry gift was supposed to do. Now the problem we've had, they left out the apostle and the prophet. I went through that 47 years. I didn't know no better. We left out the apostle and the prophet. Then God called me to be an apostle. And then and I was in another city. He said, I've called you to be a prophet. I didn't know why the two things were being placed on me. But now I do, to have to share with the body of Christ, also to share with you in this school. So we're talking about apostolic and prophetic anointing to rest on you as student of this school. You get it. Just pay attention. You'll get it. It says in the 20th verse, I want you to note that verse, and are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's heavy, heavy thing over our head. Verse 21 says, in whom all are building fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also have built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So that apostolic and prophetic anointing doesn't mean you're an apostle, doesn't mean you're a prophet, because a person had to be seasoned and called by God, not by men, to walk in his office. I want to continue in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to get a basic foundation, for there are going to be some strong jerking in the spirit. What do you mean, strong jerking? You're going to have to be jerked out of a lot of things you learn, and you're going to have to be jerked into places that God wants you to be. And so I want to prepare you for the jerking, because there's a lot of things I've learned I had to be jerked out of. All right, we're going to Ephesians chapter 3 now. I want you to make a note of the 20th verse in chapter 2, because you're going to run into another verse that is telling us where we are here, what we're doing here in this class. The third chapter says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentile, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, underlying grace of God, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation, now revelation is another important word here in our class, so I want you to underline that in your Bible. He made known unto us the mystery. I want you to underline mystery, because a lot of mystery is going to be unfold, a lot of revelation is going to be unfold, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of God. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now notice, go back to 2:20, Ephesians 2:20, and built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Go back to 3:5 now. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You see those two verses. This is where we are going. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 6 is a racism killer. It's a racism killer, because in the spirit world there's no race. The only solution for racism, I'm going to make a word up now, is gracism. I never did that before. Grace is the only thing that can deal with race, because grace deal in the area of the spirit. God's grace deal in the area of revelation. God's grace has no respecter of person. And so you have to recognize that you're really not a race, but you're a grace. I think that's a good way to say it. When you think about the grace of God on you, you cannot be put at no level or no mundane or man-made level because of some color of your skin or some degree you have. Doesn't matter. Grace erased. Grace erase condemnation. Grace erase people who think they're more than somebody else. And when you teach, you got to teach knowing that you're teaching out of grace. You're not teaching from a certain level, a denomination, a rank that men have made. No matter who in the audience you're teaching to, you have to know you're teaching to a spirit. You're teaching somebody who need God just like you need God. All right. Let's go on, class. In Ephesians 3 again, let's begin at the 6th verse, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, the same body, and partake of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now notice verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. Underline the gift of the grace of God, because we're dealing with grace a whole lot. Given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Notice, keep mentioning the grace, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, teaching from the perspective of grace and faith, not just grace, because what happened when grace began to be revealed, or try to reveal grace to the church, they took grace out of context and almost said you can just do anything. But grace and faith has to work together. But I want you to listen to this. You already got it. Most Christians spend their entire lives chasing something they already have. And that's where you're going to come in, that you're going to be able to teach them that you're already there. You're already healed. You already got health. You're already rich. You're already prosperous. You're already abundant. You already have success, good success. And tell them that it's already there. And they're going to have to take their faith and activate the grace, but they can't go in prayer begging. Number two, they're always asking the Lord to do something, to bless, heal, deliver, or prosper them, when in truth, they're seeking what they already been given. Now that's where we're gonna come in, class, where we're gonna teach people where through grace and through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is already paid for, and faith is given to us to activate grace. So our place is to know how to activate our faith in the grace that has already been provided for us. It goes on to say, and you already got it, they believe God can do anything, but not that it has past tense done very much. See, that's where we got, that's the difference now. We've had faith conferences after faith conferences without grace. Let me repeat. Grace, hope, and love must be in your ministry. They must be in there together. Your grace must be filled with love. Your hope must be filled with love. And your faith must be filled with love. The Bible tells us over and over again that's the way it should go. Now, the book of Ephesians is a different book. That's why I want to grasp our study in this book of Ephesians. Ephesians is taking us into our grace position, which is real powerful. When we read, people believe that God can do anything, but not that he has done very much. Ephesians bring us to the point that he already have done it. And that's where you got to be preaching from. You can't be preaching about what God can do, or how prayer can get God to do this, how faith can get God to do this. No, prayer and faith pull out what already had been manifested through the cross, what God has already done through the Lord Jesus Christ, why Jesus sitting at his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit. That's another thing. Now, the Holy Spirit knows that all of these things are already done. So when we are prompted or anointed or led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to know with confidence and boldness that we have access to what we're praying for. The only thing is the enemy trying to hold us back from it, our senses, Satan, self, our soul. You follow me? See, we got to operate in faith because, and in the spirit, because your soul and your senses, or your soul and your body, will hold you from functioning in what is already yours. You see the confidence, the boldness, the access, and the confidence, those three words I told you? That's the type of anointing that I want placed on you in this school. Boldness, access, and confidence. That's the type of anointing that I want you to have, and you will pick it up. Now, with all this in mind, where the church at large is trying to get something they already have, we as pioneers and pathfinders and pace setters, with boldness, access, and confidence, going to have to show the body of Christ through the grace of God and through the faith of God how to connect faith and grace and cause what is right for theirs to be placed in manifestation and demonstration in their lives. Paul the apostle, Peter the apostle, John the apostle, that's what they were doing. And so we got off denomination, religion, doctrine of men, pull us off of that type of anointing into a new type of anointing, constantly trying to build faith, constantly trying to build your faith, get your faith stronger, and get your prayer, pray longer, and you're going to be more bolder. Those things are good within themselves, but yet by the same token, you have to have that boldness, access, and confidence. Boldness, confidence, and access in your heart, knowing it is already yours. So however, here we go now. The book of Ephesians was written from an entirely different perspective. So I want you to study the book of Ephesians. Everything has already been accomplished in Christ. You hear that? And given to the born-again believer. I want to read that again, because this is one of the things that's going to irk your denomination and your tradition and your religion and what we've been taught. However, the book of Ephesians was written from an entirely different perspective. Everything has already been accomplished. John 19:30, Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Now, if your faith lock hand with grace, it's going to pick up and it is finished anointed. I never heard of that. It is finished anointed. Write that down, class. You are to, the Holy Spirit going to place on us in these classes, and it is finished anointing, which going to produce that boldness, that access, and that confidence. When you minister to people, they're going to be shook up. They're going to cry. They're going to break down because they've been fighting so long to get what they already have. Many of you are going to be touching this class. There's things in your personal life you're going to start changing, rearranging by these anointing, by these revelation. So let me read this to you again, because I want you to hear it over and over again. However, the book of Ephesians was written from an entirely different perspective. Here it is. Everything has already been accomplished in Christ and given to the born again believer. Two words I want you to think about: grace and faith. Grace and faith combined properly. In digging up people out of the grave of trying to get what's already there, I want to go over this statement. I want you to take note in the aspect of how desperate are you? People are desperate trying to get things to happen. Number one, the Lord has already blessed us, already healed us, already delivered us, and already prospered us. Now, class, look at the profound truth here we're dealing with. Look at the apostolic and prophetic anointing that is going to rest on your spirit. The Lord has already blessed us, number one. The Lord has already healed us, number two. The Lord has already delivered us, number three. And the Lord has already prospered us. Now, to your personal life, I want you to take a hold of that. And then the people you minister to, guess what effect it's going to have on their lives when you can show them through the word and through your own personal life, all these things are already yours. That's the perspective. That's the dimension. That's the realm that we're going to be working in from this school and from these classes. Let's look at three or four things under that statement. The Lord has already blessed us, healed us, delivered us, and prospered us. And I know I want you to get it in your spirit. I want you to go over and over again. I want you to see it. I want you to say it to yourself. Now, the only reason to be hopeless, helpless, and in despair is if we don't know who we are and what we have in Christ. That's the only way, to be hopeless, helpless, and in despair. We're moving people out of this. B part, we need a full revelation of what Jesus has done for us. What I say? We need a full revelation of what Jesus has done for us. Now, remember I gave you John 19:30. It is finished. And then when you read in the scripture, he's already paid for. Christ has redeemed us. Galatians 3:13-14. Get that in your note. He's already redeemed us from the curse of the law. You go to Isaiah 53, the prophet prophesied. Isaiah 53:5, wounded for our transgression. He already done it. Bruised for our iniquity. Chastised our peace up on him with his stripe. We are healed. We're not trying to get healed. We are healed. So if our body is telling us we're sick, we got to challenge our body with the confidence that we are not sick, and we break that power. We're not asking to be healed. We thank God that your healing power is in my body. So we need a full revelation, not just a full revelation of what Jesus has done for us. The third thing that we want to deal with is to understand how this works. Because we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, knowing the fact that it's already done doesn't mean that we're not going to have to deal with things. So here's his statement. That doesn't mean we won't ever have problems. But in the midst of them, we can say, Father, you've already supplied this before I ever had the need. I know it's there, so I'm drawing near you. Thank you for revealing it to me. Class, come on now, class. Come on. This is a whole new spectrum of trying to get more faith, trying to pray in the Spirit more to make it open. Listen to what it says. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problem, but in the midst of them, you can say, when you got this revelation, Father, you already supplied this before I ever had the need. Just think about some of the things you're dealing with tonight. You just take this and do it. I know it's there. So I'm drawing near to you. Thank you for revealing it to me. Come on, class. Matter of fact, the new student and as well as the second year student, I want to deal with your problems right now. I want to deal if you got financial problem, if you got health problem, if you got marriage problem, if you got job problem, if you got mind problem, whatever problem you have, we need to settle this right now in this school. I got to get you where you're on top. I don't have none of those problems. They may appear, but I deal with them just like this. Let me go over this again. I want you to hear this because somebody going to get delivered in this class tonight. Listen to me. Even though everything is already provided, and they are, if God has provided everything for you, you have to know that as a minister. You can't minister this if you're not living it. In other words, you need to be an example as a minister. You need to go through the different stages and walk up to a certain stage where you say, all of these things are in my life. All of these things are in my life. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to deal with something, but you know how to deal with them. Let me go over this again, class. It doesn't mean we won't ever have problems. But in the midst of them, you listen? We can say, and after having this short class with me, you'll be able to say, Father, you already supplied this before I ever had the need, because it's already supplied. I know it. I know it's there. So I'm drawing near to you. I thank you for revealing it to me. Now, I want you to do that with your life, especially the first year student. I want you to clear things up with that statement there. I want you to go over and over that again. Christians should never be hopeless or full of despair. We as ministers shouldn't be. We should train it to people. I'm not. Do you have any problem? Things come up, but we handle it. We handle it with past victory. Victory that had already been completed. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me now, class, at some verses. John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look with me in John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord doesn't come to those who just passively seek him. We must pursue him wholeheartedly. We must be real. We must be ready to be holy, ready to be sanctified, ready to be set apart, ready to be different. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Mark those scriptures down. Mark those scriptures down. John 6:35, John 4:14, Jeremiah 29:11-13. Now I'm going to make a statement that is not going to sound conducive if you have not heard what I said, and some of your tradition, some of your situation come up before you when I make this statement. God has already given us everything. Now that's a different perspective. The other perspective is, without the apostolic and prophetic anointing and revelation, the church, as I said, have had, I know myself, in these 53 years, I've been to more faith conferences, building your faith, believing, getting your faith together. I guess I've been to so many. I came hundreds of conferences on faith. But in those faith conferences, there wasn't enough grace. Grace put things in place, faith bring it to you. Grace have already put everything in place. God give you the spirit of faith to take what is right for yours. Not to beg for it, not to wait for it, because the Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and everything of things not seen." Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, because without faith you can't move grace. Without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see here, I want to make this statement. God has already given us everything. What a powerful statement. I want to say two or three things under there. There's a well of living water on the inside of every born-again believer. There's a well of living water, class, on the inside of you. Number two, it's not time to ask him to come and touch us. It's time for us to start taking, eating, and drinking what he has already given. Now, class, are you with me? Let's do a simbry over this class. Boldness. May the anointing of boldness, access, and confidence enter into your heart and life like never before tonight. We must stop chasing after the promises of God and the blessings of God. They are already ours. We must know how to wake grace, hope, faith. I got another one there. Grace, hope, love, and faith together as our weapons to move in the realm and the dimension, here we go now, into supernatural portals. Supernatural portals, in other words, miracles, signs, and wonders belong to us. And we're going to have to wear that type of anointing. We're going to have a wipe. In Acts chapter 3, I want to summarize this class here. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. I want to show you something a little ahead of time, and I'll be using it throughout these classes. It's so powerful. that it rocks all tradition, all denomination. Let me get that verse. I just want to show you what position this type of teaching and these classes going to put you in. In Acts chapter 3, you got Peter, who just been baptized with the Holy Ghost in chapter 2, but he made a statement to that lamb man was at the gate, and he come to them and asked them for something. And this sixth verse holds a dimension and a realm that I want you to walk in. When the man asked him, then they say in the sixth verse, then Peter said, seven gold have I none. And you know, some of jump that you need to be broke. But he just probably didn't have it with him because they knew how to receive. Peter knew how to receive. Is Peter the one had that money in the fish mouth? But I'm not sure. But Peter knew about the fish he multiplied those fish. So Peter knew about prosperity. But that's not the point here. We'll talk about it at a later time. But notice what he said. The man didn't ask for help. And Peter didn't say, let me pray for you so God can do something for you. But such as I have, give I thee. Come on, class. But such as I have, give I unto thee. That's you. You have it. And so when you're ministering, you're giving what you have. You're not trying to find nothing with the congregation. You have to study like you're doing now and be in a school like this and get yourself built up to have an understanding, to have manifestation start in your life, to have revelation in your life, to have anointing in your life, to have divine assurance in your life that all of this is real. So here Peter said, he said, no, I got this. What you want, this healing you want, this anointing you need, is in me. Not in God. It's God in me. I'm the instrument. Come on, class, that God is going to use to get your miracle. Look, watch what happened. Then Peter said, seven gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I have it and I give it. Say that, class. I have it, it's in me, and I'm giving it. When you up ministering like this, I'm ministering to you now. I'm ministering to you because I have it and I'm giving it. I know I have it, all right? Look what happened now. And I give. Now here's another aspect. Grace, faith, and the name of Jesus. Grace, faith, and the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now notice, Peter never prayed. He never asked God to do anything. He took his appointment and his anointing and handled the assignment. That's what I want for you. I want you to be able to handle the assignment. Someone come to you with a need, you have to know you got it in you. Huh? You have to know that you got the name belong to you, and the name carries the finished work and the grace and the miracles and the power and the anointing, and you on assignment and you walking with that on the inside of you. You're not trying to get God to do anything. You're not trying to get it to happen. It is a done deal. Well, God bless you, class. I look forward to seeing you in the next class. We'll pick up. We'll keep dealing with you already got it.